Diplomacy is a delicate dance, and since 2004, any dance with Russia has gone through one man, Sergei Lavrov. He's a hard-living holdover from the Soviet era and likes to portray himself as the grown-up in the room. Take the recent expulsion of Russia from the G8 after Moscow's takeover in Crimea. Lavrov responded with a shrug, calling the G8 an informal club. Susan Glasser wrote a profile of Lavrov before the whole Crimea incident. She's the editor of Politico magazine.
What was really striking in many ways was the clarity of Lavrov's vision. In some ways, it's even chilling to look at it in retrospect. He made the case for me that across the broad swath of the globe, that Russia was back, in effect, that after the indignities of the 1990s, of the immediate collapse after the end of the Soviet Union, that basically that period is definitively over.
So if John Kerry has his Vietnam vet outsider who became the consummate insider narrative, what is Lavrov's foreign minister narrative? Where did he come from and what's his background? Start with his age, too, if he's a grown-up in the room.
Well, that's right. You know, Lavrov is the longest-serving post-Soviet foreign minister, so he's really a fixture of Russian diplomacy after the Soviet era. But, of course, he was trained in the Soviet era, was born in Moscow in the 1950s, in the Stalin era, very much a product of the Soviet Union. But he sees himself not as an ideologue, but as a sort of, you know, stone-cold realist with Russia's national interests always at heart. The main thing that really animates Lavrov is the idea that Russia is a clear-eyed realist sitting at the table playing the best hand that it has. He understands, as of course Vladimir Putin understands, that Russia does not have the power that the Soviet Union did at the apex of its influence. It's not seeking to project itself globally, for example, but certainly is going to be much more aggressive in its own area of influence.
And what is Lavrov's relationship with Putin? Are they cut from the same cloth? Are they motivated by the same thing? And who follows who, really, on international affairs?
Well, one thing about the Kremlin under Vladimir Putin, and this has been true for a long time, it's a very, very opaque place. The truth is we know surprisingly little. There's a broad consensus, certainly among the U.S. and other Western officials, that Sergei Lavrov is influential. He's managed to hold on to his position in this very Byzantine court of Vladimir Putin for more than a decade, but at the same time that he's not leading foreign policy, that a decision like the Crimea decision, he may not even have been in the room for or consulted with or even known about it in advance. But of course, he's proved himself to be a very loyal advocate for Putin. And because he spent most of his career at the United Nations, he is very, very adept at understanding how Western powers will react to Putin's moves and to playing, you know, Russia's hand to maximum advantage there.
It seems like foreign leaders like Lavrov, I mean, apparently he's the one you get to drink with after hours of negotiations. How does he feel about the U.S. and what must strike him as this kind of perennial, overbearing U.S. exceptionalism?
Well, a couple points on that. First of all, not all U.S. leaders like Lavrov. I do think that John Kerry, for example, sees this kind of macho backslapping as something that he's willing to do if he can make progress with Lavrov. But in reality, the United States has had its last several secretaries of state have been women. And I think there's been a pretty strong mutual aversion to Sergei Lavrov. He's a very, very macho guy. And I don't think that went over very well, either with Condoleezza Rice or with Hillary Clinton.
So does that mean it's especially tricky to negotiate with a guy like Lavrov?
Lavrov is an expert at sticking to his talking points, whatever they are, doesn't like to be moved off them. And in fact, I found that in my interview with Lavrov, that he had come very prepared with what he wanted to say about Russia's increasing assertiveness in the world in terms of its foreign policy. When at the end of our interview, I asked him what to me seemed like a couple of sort of throwaway questions about his personal background, he became infuriated, tore off his microphone, got up and proceeded to march right out of the interview. So I think that behavior is the kind of behavior that American and other Western diplomats are familiar with.
What's the one thing about Sergei Lavrov after meeting him that maybe at the time you thought was perhaps trivial, but which now seems pretty significant?
Well, I think that when you look at Lavrov and when you look at Putin in general, we've often here in Washington made the mistake of actually not paying closer attention to what they actually say and what they're talking about. And I think that the invasion of Crimea is a really good example of that. This is something that clearly has been on Russia's mind for a long time. I think that people perhaps I discounted you know, the really almost chilling picture of a globally assertive Russian foreign policy that Lavrov went out of his way to paint for me a year ago in Moscow, and that now seems like he was describing something that really was a plan that he hoped to execute on.
Susan Glasser with Politico, thanks so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.